the power to persist and to persevere until the will of God is done. The power to stay until the glory of God is made manifest. Montala Hasami Jelinta Abaraketombre Mante Sopreketela Bakade Masalata La Sambra Alabasketa Bonja Nakaba Lepatakuska Brenda Baskade Babalende Epata Sopre Nakanda Baboria Jamina Halabate Bonjata Belekanda Basale Babaya. The power to stay in the place of prayer when the devil comes to manipulate around to bring about distractions. The power to retain your place. The power to stay. The power to stay. The power to stay when the very hearts of the kingdom of the devil comes to manipulate around you. The grace to stay. The grace to stay. The Bible says, having done all that you may stand, when everything goes around, that you may stand, when the devil begins to roar, that you may stand, that you may stand until the fire of the Lord comes down from heaven. Many times we take off like a tornado, but we do not have the power to stand. The power to stand. It's the game of warriors. You will never see victory until you learn how to stand. The tide will never turn until you gain power and mastery with God to stand. Oh God, give us the grace to stand. Subelana kambeta babere kan sobendale brakate bobos katabandale abede kaskatamina maman sakuta. The grace to stand, the grace to stand, not to change job description until the fire comes, not to change the melody until the fire comes, not to change what you're doing until there's a response from heaven. Give us the grace to have power with you. And the battle can never end until you tire out, until you weary out, until you back out. God will stand with you as long as there's an intercessor, a man that is standing in the gap. The Bible says, I sought for a man among them. I sought for a man that will stand in the gap, even on behalf of the land. If one man refuses to fall, then God will keep on walking. If one man refuses to back out, then the hand of God over that family will not be removed. If one man, Kapotalaba, give us the power to stand. Stay in power. Tarry in power. Stay in grace. Carrying grace that we might gain mastery, power with you. Kaleba barakatomba, zemina katebo, zemina brancha tata balataya, abres kata balata, manta barakate, barakate baborokoto, zada barakasa branta babala, aha, balakate baboria maka. Lakas katobra babala escombra malakata babo a perekatatata a perekatatata a perekatatata balata a perekatatata babo a sobregadela bakadaba zupakate baboroko alabala rabashkanda dada babala kata shakada dada makata shakada kata babala kata shakada dekata bre shakata labala taya. But women, receive that dead back to life again. If you refuse to shift ground, then the glory of God will be made manifest, and fire, literal fire, will come down from heaven. Kuta, Babesakunda, Palakate Baboria, Rabastanda balata semina 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 katababo abata balata balata aha. So said Abba, if you refuse to sit ground, Elijah was a man of like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that there should be no rain. And in the space of 3.5 years, there was no rain. Lord, Lord, give us the same power of Elijah, the same power of Elijah, the power of Elijah to tarry until the heavens respond. Akapato sakwata mandale, akapatula mandata, ebraka petete, bakata lababo, rabe kaskata bina, rabe na kaskata, bakana. Yay, akaka balakata, bora bora bora. Zabala kabata, zabala katabala taba, abrata kabala shada, abrata kabala da, abela kasketomina, abakaskata. Ooh, akabali. If you refuse to shift, then the enemy will back off. Satan will back off. Even death will turn backward. Dobe. Dobelama, Ebelama, my Father, Moselelebai, Abendo, Barakabe, Atakwatata, Akabeska Manta, Yepate, Bate, Bate, Aparante Babo, Oka. Ayanamaskade Babokata. Ayamanta Babaredas, Kemante, Idrata Dabakata Babo. Yes, 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 yes. Something is breaking. Something is breaking. Something is breaking. Oh my God. Oh my God. It is breaking over your life. Delem batanto akante barakate apanta shaka apanta batoba lakabwa. Sebananta baya abrakata balakatata abrakashaka balata abrakata balanta abranta shakata balataka bata.
We give you glory. We give you praise.
Debo, 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 bambalan, de, abalan, damban, kampenta, ambalanta, conte, amparakata, ambranta, shakabalata, ambrakata, lababodokota, ambranta, shatua, ambranta, katabulokoto, shakuta, barakate, dakadetatia, pondamakata, yakaposke.
Oh, in Jesus' name. Hey. When you refuse to shift ground,
Ah, so de tombe la te balakatate la tato bakaskate bali la breska barante la braskata barakata bokoto ambrambanskande la bakuta basuta la bakate babaria la bakate babura makate la baskanda la baskanda rabaskanda la baskanda yadada bakuta ba.
We give you glory. In Jesus' name.
While you still maintain the mood of prayer, I'd still like you to lift up your Bible and look upon Revelation chapter 5. Le kapando zagatebina. The devil did not create you, so he cannot insists that his destiny for your life will come to pass. If you walk the way of darkness, if you walk the way of the expectation of the devil, it is because you have refused to partner with God. If you still maintain prayer on your lips, somehow the devil will turn back. The devil's dominion operates with patterns, with cycles, and with circles. And if there be one man in the clan that breaks the pattern, it opens the gate to 1,000 generations. Just one apostle, one man that refuses to bend, and he stands his ground sufficient enough for as long as it would take for the pattern to be disconfigured. And then the gates are open. 1,000 generations. In Revelation chapter 8, 5 verse 8, the Bible says, "Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." Hallelujah. In this scripture, we see that prayers are stored in the heavens. I need to educate us tonight because many times when Christians pray, especially with a superfluous teaching of faith, when Christians pray, they do not understand that. I hope you realize that we have NEPA. And in order for us to have NEPA, the cables must be connected. We must pay the bills. Hallelujah. Are you aware of that? A house maybe close by may not have electricity just because the NEPA is available. Because a Bible scholar might say, in Christ all things are already there. But you need to understand that before you can tap into that which is already there, there are some stuff you need to do. NEPA is already there. Power is there. But you may need to connect your cables. And in order for the cables to stay connected, you need to pay your bills. All that you are going through just because power is what? Is there. If power were not there and you connected cables, I hope you have been to some communities that have cables. The only thing there that is not there is power. By reason of our connection in Christ, we have power. We have everything available. Hallelujah. I was reading a pamphlet about a conference that took place some time ago. When I read the pamphlet, the preacher said, everything about Christianity is based upon
the finished works of Jesus. That's not true. If I take you to the book of 1 Peter, 2 Peter, you're going to see an aspect of God's intent for your life that needs your active participation for it to come to pass. It's based upon, yes, that wasn't a possibility if Jesus did not do what he did. But we are called into partnership with God. The day you forget that, the devil will stand on your head. The day you forget that there's an active participation that God demands from you, darkness will ride you for free. In the face, in the presence of that which Jesus has done, darkness will still ride upon you. Because the sacrifice of Jesus does not exempt you from an active participation. In order for the fulfillment of that which God expects to come to pass, standing on the platform or the foundation of that which Christ has done, there is a call to an active participation that is required from every one member of the body of Christ. Are you still with me now? An active participation. There was a time in the body of Christ when this doctrine was going around, you know, Jesus has done everything. You don't need to pray, just connect with what he has done. And so many ministries I know that shut down their prayer section in keeping with that revelation. And demons took over. Darkness took over. Even to connect to Nepal Light, you pay a price for it. It's available, but you need to connect your wires. You need to pay your bills. You know what happens when your bills are not paid? There's a disconnection. The disconnection is not a fact that NEPA is not available. It's just because you are not ready to access it. Hallelujah. I don't know whether it has happened to you before. For about 2 months, you were careless with your prayer life and you experienced total disconnection. Did it mean that God went to sleep? It's you that went to sleep. You were not ready to pay the price that was due in order for you to tap into the realm that God had made available. And I need to tell you that occultic people pay greater prices. And they are more consistent than we. Just operating on the minimum average is a burden for the average Christian. The scripture I say we should read in the book of Revelation chapter 5 verse 8 is a scripture that reveals to us the need for perseverance in the place of prayer. There are several things about prayer that we need to understand. It has been vetoed by the government of God. In order for this thing to come to pass, some things we pray about. There is a vessel, a cup, that all prayers along that line are being kept, are being preserved. And God has already determined it by an act of his sovereignty and his governmental power, that until prayer reaches this mark, I will not act. Why? Because it will require that intensity of prayer to overturn the investment of darkness that has been put into place in order to secure a particular pattern. Many times we do not understand, we can't understand why God would demand perseverance. Hallelujah. No, people just come like that and just expect that God will just begin to do. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And so when we talk about perseverance in prayer, especially praying when you don't see the results, you are not motivated to pray, you lack understanding. That kind of your life cannot change anything on earth. That kind of life you want to live is not the type that Elijah lived. Men that open several things in heaven and change the patterns on earth, men whose authority was reckoned with in the realm of the spirit, were people that had power, staying power. In the mechanism and the process that change comes about, they had the ability to stay. Hallelujah. If you have been coming here for the past 3 years and you cannot pray for 3 hours on your own, don't just stop coming. You are wasting your time. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Hallelujah. If you are a hypocrite, don't continue that way. Don't waste your time. Do another thing with your time. That's not how people win. Let me tell you the truth. After studying the scriptures, I knew that God would not bend the scripture for me. And I knew that I had to get mastery in the place of prayer for me to enjoy everything that God has made available for me. So there are times in search for prayer mastery, you put stones in your pocket so that you don't sleep. Because God will not bend his principles for you. The average Christian in my court is dry in the place of prayer. Dry. And he wants to come back with the demons here. Even though Jesus has given you victory over them. It's not a believer like you, the one that doesn't pray, that will walk in that victory. It's not possible. And so the average believer ascribes to God's sovereignty that which is our own responsibility, and we expect to live within the context of victory. You lie. Your own singular life cannot break the pattern. In fact, if your story is different from the Bible, is you got your testimony through another means. Because if your spiritual experience is healthy, there will be a testimony about it from Scripture. The fact that you came to testify doesn't mean that it was God that gave you the testimony. Because if your testimony is genuine, to follow a pattern of victors in the Bible, the same thing they did is what you will do. The reason why the Bible shows us where, if you start this way you will end, is a prophetic book. So that if you are not ready to pay the price, don't start, because you will not end there. And it will also show you people that started out that did not have the intention to finish. That's why there are so many characters and so many examples in the Bible. You can become anyone you have. Stop sympathizing with people that don't pray. It's a waste of time. The darkness coming, you don't know. That's why the average Christian in Makodi is still doing business as he will cut. So many people have been cut. Hallelujah. Oh my God. You know, whenever we come here, we pray for 1 hour first so that the spirit will be charged. And some people came and complained to me that, why are we praying like this? Yeah. What's the problem? It's not hard to hold a regular service. I said, that's why. In fact, the burden became too much. I had no words to talk. Let me tell you the truth. I was not raised in a cosmetic service setting. I was raised on the mountains of the north in the ways of prayer and fasting. I'm not sure if there are people that have fasted the way I fasted here. There can't be two. There can't be two here. And you want to do this is not civil service. That you know what to do from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. The game of the apostles, the name of their game was what? Prayer and the word. They schooled the people that way, deliberately. Because if they are ever going to have power with God, they must have staying ability. Hallelujah. Stay in power. Say, this prayer we pray like this. Hallelujah. You know, those people were good for rebuke, but I was amazed when I heard them that the ability to rebuke left. Do you understand? You are so involved with what doesn't work that you compromise the principles of Scripture. You suggest something that is not Scripture. That's not how the apostles grew. It's not within the context of doing goose pimples kind of spiritual exercise. The ability to stay, because they are marks. The Bible said that a veil was brought, and that veil was filled with odors, which were the prayers of the saints. Indicative of the fact that prayer is storable. They store it. And until it gets to a particular point on several issues of satanic interest, that pattern will not change until your perseverance has overshadowed the interest of the devil in investing in that case. And the supremacy of your faith triumphs over the intent of darkness. It takes perseverance to make a statement in the spirit. for 12 years now. We prayed for God's intervention in our family. And the more we prayed, the more darkness came into the place. Hallelujah. There were no results, but we still kept praying. At least I kept praying. I know there were other people praying. And the prayers kept building. It was as if God was not answering. Hallelujah. But you see, we don't check the natural to get witness of what is going on in the supernatural. We don't check the natural. No. We can be praying for you and the Holy Spirit is saying, this woman is healed. And in the natural, there's no sign. We don't check the natural to get a witness about something that is in the realm of the supernatural. We don't check it. In fact, the natural might be an outright contradiction. But that's how to fly a plane. You know how to look at the radar. You don't check the weather. The cloud might be terrible. But the radar might be saying the way is clear. Meanwhile, the clouds, you can't see through. You don't check the natural. Don't check the weather. You check the radar. And for 10 years, we battled in the place of prayer. And every time we kept praying, every time like that, we kept praying. Every spare time, prayer. Every spare time, prayer. Until somebody died in the family. And then they now went for burial. And when they went for burial, after the burial, the conviction of the Lord struck. Hallelujah. Even the man that brought idols, he confessed it. The elder that brought idols, he said, Kyle, this thing is true. We have brought darkness. And now they started family cleansing. And the people that, most of the people that did the praying were not even there. But it was happening. And it happened in one day. But it took 12 years to achieve. But you see, the average Christian have been programmed by faith, name and claim. The superfluous nature of our faith praying. Our faith processes. That you just name it. And so we don't get to see that Elijah prayed earnestly before he showed up and declared that there will be no rain. Hallelujah. You are not with me. Don't worry. I will still keep talking. You see, you can pray without faith. Tell your neighbor you can pray without faith. But you cannot have faith except you are a man of prayer. He didn't hear you. He said you can pray without faith. But you cannot have faith without being a man of prayer. Do you know that sometimes you can pray on an issue for 2 years before faith is impacted in your spirit? Oh, you don't know. You just come and say, it's there, it's written. Sometimes you pray on it for 2 years, 3 years. Then one day it just downs on you. Faith is imparted. You can be praying about your family for 6 months and you don't even believe there will be a change because faith has not come. Faith is like a journeyman in a distant place. And only a man that has staying power will always operate by faith. Are you with me now? You can pray without faith. But you cannot walk in faith without being a man of prayer. It took 12 years. And then the fear of God came like a storm. Hallelujah. It's only people that are consistent that can get to tell the true story of how God works. Most of us, our stories are not genuine enough because there's no staying power. Consistency is removed. I'm not talking about machine perfection because there are sometimes I'm weak. Hallelujah. I'm not as strong every day. But even in my weakness, my heart is still on that issue. Hallelujah. In my strength, my heart is still on that issue. And even if there's no change, my heart is still on that issue. You can still be pressing on the issue. They'll come with, from a village with another bad story. Thank you. But the heart is still there. That's the only way Elijah could pray when they were bringing him bad news. That your prayer is not changing anything. But he understands the law of the spirit. That prayer is a seed. And as you keep sowing it, and you keep releasing it, and you keep releasing it, a time comes when the volume you have accumulated is just enough to bring about a change. Hallelujah. At that point, angels are dispatched. God gives a decree. God speaks to you in response to what you have been crying about. Have you been praying about an issue for the past 3 months? Believers nowadays don't even have that ability to keep praying on one issue for 3 years. A preacher went to preach somewhere. He was caught up, I think, somewhere in Ibadan. And a white man was called to preach alongside him. When the guy finished preaching, the white man now called him and said, "What's your name?" He told him his name. "What's your wife's name?" He told him his name. "How many children do you have? What are their names?" "Ah." Then the man has said, "Well, what kind of interrogation is this?" He said, No. "I have a list of people that I pray for. And I pray for them and I pray for their families. And when I heard you preach today, I felt like joining you on the list." So he now gave him all the details. And then they finished one evening session. The Holy Ghost took over the meeting and they spent a little bit more time than they would normally spend. And the white old man, he was about 70 years old then, after the meeting, he was running back to his room. And the Nigerian preacher now asked him, "Where are you going?" He said, "No, I'm going to pray. This is the time to." So the Nigerian preacher was now challenged and went to the man the next day and said, "For how long have you been doing this prayer thing?" The man said, "I didn't start early. But I've been doing it for 35 years, but I didn't start." I didn't start too early, but I've for about spent, I wasted so much time. But for about 35 years now, I've been. And then the our African brother now knew that he didn't have authority where that man was. The average Nigerian believer is just distracted, doesn't have power with God. Doesn't have power with God. Some of the cheap things that are the major concerns of our lives, when we weigh it on the scale of God's purpose for our life, it doesn't count. So you are still playing with toys. Doesn't have power with God. Hallelujah. No, it doesn't have power with God. And there's a major darkness that is coming. And that's why there's a reason, there's a need for us to receive staying power. Staying power. You know, we used to pray on campus those days. There was one guy like that used to come. He used to like our prayers. So one day, after 3 months, he would just come and speak and talk. You will pray. He will be the loudest man that day. The next time he will come is after. And that's it, Mister. You come one. All right. And we kept on like that. 10 years after we graduated. 10 years. The guy discovered my house when they just posted me back to my cottage here. He stumbled into my house in the night, still smelling beer. I said, 10 years later, the old pattern was still part of his life. You know, when we're praying that time, we look foolish. You know, these guys are mad. In my life, that's the only thing I did right. And I decided not to change till I die. Hallelujah. There were several times I sought direction from the mind of God. I sought direction. Hallelujah. It took months, 8 months, I didn't break through. Some people say people that are prophets, they easily hear God. You may hear for other people, but your own is as hard as every other person's own. If I come now and pass now, I will be hearing things for people. In fact, I heard one for you now, just now. That you have been looking for jobs in the wrong places. That's not where God sent you. I heard for you. He has told me where you need to go. It's easy to hear for people. It's a gift. Do you understand? I was dying the other day of sickness. And I went to BSO to preach. People were falling. I put the power on my hand. It didn't go. You don't understand? You don't understand it. When I came, my wife helped me. When we reached home, they didn't know that. They had to carry me. But I came out and was doing hand like this. People were coming down. I was speaking. That one is sweet, Abby. You can die doing that thing and die of sickness. The guy loved coming into the... You see, the average Christian in Makoti is distracted by demons. Demons have reassigned them and given them jobs to do. And that's why we don't have staying power. You can't create any change the way we are doing. No. Change. After my wedding, I went on fast. I know it's unusual, but that's the way. I'm not saying do. I'm just telling you my own story. Went on a fast because we had program after the wedding. The next weekend was program and he have a word from God. The minister I invited from Kenya just sent me text that he is not coming. Oh, I said, all right. So I had to gather myself and enter fasting. No honeymoon. After the program, I had to start fasting again because my ordination was the after that program. So I was fasting. I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm praying. And 2 days before my ordination, they sent a coffin to take my wife. Because after the wedding, some members of the family now say, we disown her. Problem came out. I don't know. We seen God blinded their eyes till the wedding finished. Then they shouted and left. And then 14 days later, they sent a coffin. If not that we fasted and prayed like that, I would have been 7 days married when we would have been going for burial. Somebody say, God forbid. No, cool down. I found out. The devil is not as strong as people think he is. But you see, we need to be a little bit more serious to check him out of the way. You need to be a little bit more serious. There's no darkness that cannot be overturned, but you need to face it. Make it a project. It's not hit and run. This is what we do until it's uprooted. And if that one thing, if God uses your life to uproot just one thing, He releases you into a chain of favors with God. I mean a chain. Of favors. It was in Kano that we decided that, okay, we are not eating again. If people bounded themselves with an oath that they won't eat until they kill Paul, we say, okay, we are not eating again until God moves. We only eat in the night, and we eat when the sun has gone down. 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock in the night, 10 o'clock in the night, and we did that for 200 and something days. Heaven opened. Hallelujah. Heaven. You know this heaven? Fire, that fire, it came down. Now, I'm not telling you what I read from Charles Finney's book. I'm telling you what I've seen in this, my short life. I'm not telling you about Catherine Kuma. Heaven opened. I've seen Muslims giving their life to Christ with tears. I've seen Muslim women come to give their life to Christ in the night with the hijab. With problem, cancers, they come in the night and they remove that thing. They remove this one, they remove it. I say, see me. They remove it. I say, see me, not see me. Mayata Mokoske. May the Lord give us the power to stay. There's a time in the flight of an eagle when it begins to look straight into the sun. It's as if his strength comes back. It's as if the symptoms of aging diminishes. An eagle does not die of age problem. He does not get weak because he's old. Because it has found a way to what? To renew his strength. We need staying power. You want to have power with God? Then we need staying power. Staying power. Staying power. I declared a fast one time to seek the face of God. God didn't speak to me, so I came down. After the days were ended, left it. Hallelujah. Left it to rest more. To continue. Have you ever gone to fast before and for the 7 days you wanted to fast? You fasted and God didn't speak to you. What did you do? You just came down and forgot about it. Or you came down, you rested. Gained small strength. And you enter again. Your life has not depended on God speaking to you yet. That's why you have a choice. You know, you just... If God talk, if he not talk... The day your life begins to depend on that which God will have to say. If even if you are weak, you come down and receive strength small. And you go back. When I declared the other night, 100 days, and the Lord will come. I know we have forgotten, so I came to remind us again. We are going to do a stretch of prayer. Hallelujah. That's the one I know. You may know another thing. Eh? A prophet came the other day and he said, this is the one that works for me. All of you bring money. If you sow money, you will get... Then he stole all our money and people suffered when he left. Because he came during an exam time and people gave their exam money expecting that God will visit them. Instead of visitation, they were struck. Hallelujah. The one that I've seen is the one I'm telling you. If we have staying power, things will change. Things will change. Staying power. And the Bible says that the vessels in heaven had odors. And the odors were indicative of the prayers of the saints. And I've always asked, what exactly is a memorial? What is a memorial? Because when you go to the book of Acts of the Apostles chapter 11, you are going to see that the angel said unto Cornelius that your prayers and your alms given has ascended unto God as a memorial. If you go to the book of Matthew chapter 26, you will see Jesus say that wherever the gospel is preached, what this woman has done shall be reckoned as a memorial. Two times the word memorial was used in the New Testament. Two times. Many other times in the Old Testament, but two times, just two times in the New. It's in the case of the woman with the alabaster box that we get to see the practical meaning of a memorial. I don't want you to miss the fact that the Bible reveals that prayers are sent to heaven, not in form of words, but in form of odors. Can you handle that one? Does not ascend. The way you speak it, that's not how it goes. Because prayer doesn't leave your mouth. Prayer leaves your heart. You get it? And there's a heart-mouth connection that exists. In fact, it's your heart that gives your mouth vocabulary. The Bible says that out of the abundance of a man's heart, the mouth will speak. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your definition is the expression of the thoughts that rise from your heart. So that's your definition. So it's not what comes out of your mouth that God hears, but what comes from your heart as an altar. And the form in which it ascends from your heart is not in form of words, but in form of an incense. And the Bible says that in heaven there are vials, special vials that have the capacity to contain and to store these odors. So, in the book of Matthew chapter 26, where we see the second place or the first place in the Bible, in the New Testament, where the word memorial was mentioned, you come to see that it has to do with the woman with the alabaster box. Amen. I think I need to give you three principles that will help us. Just three. It has to do with who? The woman with the alabaster box. In the book of Matthew chapter 26, you're going to see that she came into the room and she broke the box. I don't want to take you through the details. When the woman broke the box, you'll notice that the place, the house where they were staying was filled with the perfume of the box. It's just like when you take an air freshener and you flit it around. Every place, and if you flit it very well, is saturated with the odor of the freshener. Is that not so? And that is in close likeness to what is revealed in the book of Revelation chapter 5 verse 8, which signifies that our prayers are sent to heaven in form of odors, signifying also that your heart is the best description of what the Bible calls an altar. Hallelujah. So whenever you study the Old Testament and you find out the uses of an altar, that everything that has to do with that altar is actually a type of your heart. And the Bible says that Solomon prayed and he kept praying, and when he finished praying, the fire of God came down from heaven in response to his prayer. It also means that you can even pray and get to a point where the fire of God is released upon your heart. And then you are given utterances of faith, because God wants you to be a battle axe. He wants you to participate in the answers to your prayers. So it comes like the spirit of fire upon your heart and gives you utterances of authority that emit that fire. And spiritually, you may not know, because your eyes are not spiritual eyes. But many times if God opens your eyes and you see the things that happen, a lot of it has to do with fire. A lot of it. A lot of spiritual things have to do with fire. You must have read in your Bible when the Bible says that he maketh his angels spirits. He makes his ministers what? If your eyes open, a lot of things that God does has to do with fire. Fire. Hallelujah. Where did I stop? Okay. And I said that in the book of Matthew chapter 26, you come to realize that that scripture is a good description of the situation in Revelation chapter 5 verse 8. And when she broke the box, the place was saturated with a perfume that was concealed in the box. And it happened to be that at a point in time, Jesus was compelled to speak. Why? Because it was a memorial. And also, when you ask, you release prayer to heaven, and it keeps going to heaven, and the angels keep storing it in the vials. A time comes when the vial becomes full, and the odor leaves the vial and saturates God's sanctuary. At that point in time, God will be under compulsion to speak, because a memorial is standing before him. A memorial is that point when the odor saturates the presence of God. So much so that God cannot but make a statement about that issue. And it's a statement that God makes. Many times he might allow you to hear the statement so that you can make the same statement. It is when Elijah saturated heaven with his prayers that God now spoke to him and said, okay, on your account, I'm going to seal up the heavens. So that was when Elijah put his hand in the pocket and came out. But a faith preacher will not see that Elijah prayed earnestly before he showed up. A faith preacher will just say, Elijah just showed up and with a faith declaration for 29 seconds, he locked up the heavens. It looks heroic, but that's not the truth. The Lord give you understanding. It looks powerful, but that's not the truth. How many times have you spoken words that fell to the ground? But that was not the way of Samuel. When Samuel speaks, his words never come to the ground, because these words were cultured in the place of prayer. He was not speaking what he wanted to speak, but he spoke the result of his prayer. Because when Solomon finished praying, fire what? There was a response from heaven. Samuel had trained himself only to speak the responses from heaven to his prayers. That's why his words never fell to the ground. Not because there was anything unique about him, but he never came out until heaven has responded. If you operate that way, your word, you don't need to be a prophet. Your word will never fall to the ground. It's very easy to walk in the gifts, especially if you operate, if you flow in the prophetic stream. Very easy. Once the anointing is stirred a little, you begin to know things. But that doesn't mean you are spiritual. It doesn't mean so. It's easy to see things. Especially if you are broken through some realms and you sit in an office. You can see things. It's just part of you. It's natural with you. But hold on, my friend. It doesn't mean you have depths. Because if a battle is coming, God is the only one that is not unaware of a battle situation, and he begins to prepare you for the battle before the battle comes. So that he will become a covering to you in the day of battle. But there's a preparation process he puts you through, so that when the battle comes, he will be your cover. If you are not a current Christian, you will take many arrows home. Because when God wanted to prepare you for a battle, you were operating on a different frequency from the Holy Spirit. So he has no choice but to allow you open up to satanic fire. But that's not your portion in Jesus' name. I'm just saying that the average Christian is lousy and is expecting heaven to come down. It doesn't do anything. It's expecting God to move. That's not how we do it. We must be trained to have power with God. You may not know too many scriptures, but if you have power with God, you will know what to do. And if you are a man that has too many alternatives of what to do, you will always be choosing something else other than the humility of staying in the place of prayer to get God's response. And then your life will become a portrait, a case study of what happens to a man that refuses to receive direction from God. When you begin to do the wrong things, the repercussion does not come instantly. Because the devil too will help you waste your time. Don't waste your time. A preacher was sent to raise men. He came and from USA and then built a hospital and was treating people. And after 25 years, God now told him, you have spent 25 years here, but you have not. When will you start doing what I told you to do? What? What have I been doing? Oh. When the man, God said, go to Nigeria, I want to use you to do something. He came to Nigeria and saw that they were sick. Now built a hospital. Didn't ask God, when did you send me? And in his old age, he raised only 4 men. Oh, you might say, but one of those men was Benson Idahosa. All the experience he had gathered all those years, he injected it into 4 men. Those 4 men are the 4 pivotal leaders that opened the Nigerian church to the race of heaven. 4 of them. Those 4 men. I don't want to mention their names. It will distract us. Because somebody else will feel the discourage that, hey, people reach like this, me, I'm not, so it will be a distraction. When the alabaster box was broken, what happened? Jesus was compelled to make a statement, just like when you begin to pray and a memorial is attained in the heavens. God makes a statement. He gives a response to that which you are doing. Hallelujah. And that response is law. It must come to pass. That's the word that Elijah took that locked the heavens. Friends, we need to receive the grace of God today to stay. Don't change job description just because nothing is happening. It's because your eyes are not open to see. I've come to realize that even when it seems nothing's happening, that's when things are happening most. One, two, three, four, 5 times, I've been able to pray through some things and see the result. Many times, do you understand? Many times in life, I prayed through some things and I've seen the result. And I tell you the truth, people that quit easily will never know the blessings of God. You never know. Let me show you 3 principles quickly, then we'll pray. 3 principles, then we'll pray. Because in the woman's story that we just raised, amen? In the woman's story that we just raised, woman with the alabaster box, the principle that has been illustrated in that scripture is the principle of consecration. And I need you to understand that if you are not a consecrated Christian, your prayer does not have so much power. I've decided recently that I need to challenge you with the truth. The raw one, that one that is just naked. I've decided, it's a decision. So, what I may be saying today may not be sweet, but it is true. We started a teaching the other day about Abraham, on Abraham, from the book of Genesis. And we're talking about something very critical. Are you still with me now? If you are with me, say amen. At least you... Okay, amen. You know, sometimes like that, when we begin to fellowship in deep truth, confrontational truth, the amens die. Hallelujah. We're speaking about Abraham, that he was a man that sought a city that God was the builder. The Bible says he sought a city that had foundations. Are you with me? And upon close consideration, the word foundations in the original Greek refer to principles for living. And by that we presuppose, or we mean, principles that make heaven steady. Some men have been able to discover it, and they have found out that it has applications on earth. You can operate heavenly principles on earth and get the same results of heaven on earth. And that's why Jesus said to Peter, I give unto you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Not the keys of, but the keys to. Those keys are keys that can operate the kingdom of heaven right from earth. Here. And that's why the next scripture after that scripture was that whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's like, I give you keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. It means that the keys were supposed to operate several things in heaven right here on earth. And when we look upon, and I said I gave us a principle the other day. The Bible says that thy throne, O God, is forever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. The reason why God's throne is an eternal throne, because it's founded upon righteousness. Any throne that there may be, hallelujah, that treachery, wickedness, darkness is figured in it, does not have the capacity to last forever. Are you with me now? So we can actually operate the principles of heaven here on earth. And that is the civilization that has foundations. And in our Bible study, we're able to see that the earth does not have true foundations. That the earth was founded upon the floods and upon the seas. And that's why when you dig too deep into the ground, you find water. Everything that is of the earth does not have the ability to perpetuate eternally. Someone said that his prosperity principle is in the book of Genesis chapter 8 verse 22. Which reads, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. He said, that's where my principle is. And I said, you are, my God, your principle is epileptic, it's weak. Because that scripture is only true as long as the earth remains, and the earth happens not to have true foundations. And if your confidence is tied to anything that is of the earth, you are going to encounter terrible discoveries. Are you with me now? And I shook somebody's theology. The person said, wow. I've been hearing that every Sunday morning. When offerings are about to be taken, they come and they say, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Hallelujah. Amen. Meanwhile, when we push that principle into the New Testament, the earth is removed from the template. In the New Testament, sowing and reaping has nothing to do with the earth. It has everything to do with where you sow. And the quantity that you sow. The volumetric analysis there. Quantitative analysis and qualitative analysis. Because the Bible says that we have two options of where to sow. You either sow into the flesh or you sow into the spirit. No earth anymore. Okay, let me leave you. I know you can't follow me. Don't worry, I will go there. When we move to There are several principles revealed in the life of Abraham. When we move to the next phase, I'm going to bring those principles out. If you really need to prosper, because Abraham was the man, by reason of his covenant and his operation with God, he had the entire earth willed to him. Hallelujah. The earth was willed to him by God. When God began to show him his title, he said, Abraham of the Most High God, the possessor of the heaven and the earth, was trying to bring him to accommodate the perspective of God. Amen? Okay. Don't worry, as we go on, we'll get to that point. Then you see the true biblical principles of prosperity. And you find out that more than 97% of this class does not work in it. More than 97% of this class doesn't work in it. I assure you, I'm very confident of what I'm talking about. By the time we move into it, you will now discover, you see, God won't change his principle because of you. No. He won't change his word. You are not the first man on earth. We have many people who have passed here. And we need to understand the principles and the things that men that found favor with God discovered. All right, move with me now to the book of Genesis 12. I'm going to show you several things in the life of that man. And those things are life applicable. And you must understand that the covenant we operate in Christ is a pact. It's a pact of the covenant that God established with Abraham. All right? There were two people involved in that covenant. Because the covenant was made according to the book of Galatians chapter 3 with Abraham and his seed. And Christ is that seed. Abraham is an illustration of the physical dimension of the covenant. Christ brought the spiritual dimension of that covenant. Are you with me? So that's the two sides of the whole covenant. And that's why Jesus is referred to as the son of Abraham, is because of that covenant. He's referred to as the son of David because of the throne. Referred to as the son of Mary because of the prophecy in Eden, the seed of the woman. Referred to as the son of God because it's a projection of God, gave God definition and essence. Before he manifested, God was a mystery. But when he was manifested according to the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, has in this last day spoken to us by who? His son. And then the Bible gave us a brief definition of his son, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. God has gained definition upon the manifestation of Jesus as the son of God. So he has five titles: son of man, the representative of the human race, the only one capable of fulfilling the claims of divine justice, son of Mary, the one of whom the Bible speaks that the serpent shall bruise his heel and he will bruise the head of the serpent. Only him has the qualification to take the devil out of business. Son of Abraham, because of this covenant that we're looking at now. Son of David, because he's the custodian of the eternal throne, who is the throne of the Christ. The throne of him that manipulates everything according to the counsel of God's will. You see, when you look at scripture and you bring it, you just discover, you see that it is because we have refused to follow it that many things have befallen us. Come with me quickly. Quick. Three things. Just three things and we'll close. Amen. Before we close, we'll have a partnership of how that we are going to pray for 100 days. It may not be only you who will share it. 100 days. The Lord said, pray for 100 days and I will come. I don't know in what form. I don't know whether he will come and rapture us. Well, the Lord give you understanding in Jesus' name. Can we move now to the book of Genesis chapter 12? Hey, wait. You are in a hurry. If we break the Bible or the life of Abraham into fragments, from Genesis chapter 12 to Genesis chapter 14, we'll give it a subtitle. And the subtitle that one will bear is The Man in the Land. Can you write that down just in case you came with the book? Genesis 12 to Genesis 14, the subtitle is what? The Man in what? The Land. I don't know if you have come to realize that God said, you step out from your country, step out from your kindred, step out from your father's house, and I'm going to take you to a place, a land that I will show you. It means that the destiny of Abraham cannot come to pass in any other geographical location save the land. And that's why I get so perplexed when somebody goes to Abuja and influences his youth service posting. He say, I grew up in Lagos. I was bred and buttered in Lagos. I attended King's College, Lagos. I made it to Lagos State University. And if I leave Lagos, I'll die. He had mortgaged his destiny. He has done something to his life. He has robbed himself of something that he may never get again. Because a man's destiny is tied to location. Just in case you are here and it's time for youth service, you are contemplating going to Abuja so that they post you to. The Lord has rebuked you already. And if after this teaching you go and you... The visions I see is of a people of power, a people of strength, an uncompromising set of people that will arise from this land. I see it. I'm a captive to that vision. I'm bound to it. I will live for it. I will die for it. That a time will come when a set of warriors will arise. And the devil will give way for them. So Abraham's destiny was going to be fulfilled in a place, in a location that God had prescribed. And the name of the location was the land of Canaan. And so by the time we get to the book of Genesis chapter 12, we are going to see the man in the land. He has arrived the place of his destiny. He has arrived the place that God had intended him all this while to come. And there were three basic things that we could study and learn about the things that God taught him right in that land. Yes, it is true that God wanted him to go into that land, but the point is this: Abraham had come into the land without knowing what God wanted, why that land, and several confusions were still in the way. And through the way God dealt with him and through his movements, we could see that there were several spots that God led him in order to teach him some principles.
Hallelujah.
I'll just name them out. You can go do the study at home and complete the whole picture. But when I so do, at least we'll rise and have about 10 minutes to cry. It's always very powerful when people of understanding gather together like this and connect in a place of prayer. It's like a parliament, like a senate house where legislation is taken, a parliament of heaven. Men that enforce the will of God upon the face of the earth. Their utterances have been guided by wisdom. And the things that they decree are backed with divine potency. Say parliament. Say parliament. A lady came the other day infested with all kinds of witchcraft attack. I say, Pastor, I pray for 2 hours. Why have the devil overpowered me? I say, you have been praying alone. Oh my God, there are several things you can't handle alone. You need to come to the parliament. Well, sorry, I don't know. I've been trying. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. All right, Genesis chapter 12, verse 6. Now, let's go gradually. And Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem. As far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. And the Canaanites then were in the land. Now, I need to tell you quickly. The principle, the second principle, we have seen the first principle. The first principle is that Abraham was taught the principle of government. We have not finished that. We will still continue it. We'll continue it, all right? Government. That your life cannot be outside of God's dominion and you expect to enjoy God's blessings. You are still submitting to lawlessness in your heart. And expecting that the sovereignty of God will pave the way for you. I think you are out of place. You are not aligned yet. Hallelujah. There were several times like that we prayed and prayed and there was no answer. Then I discovered that it was not God that was the fault. We the people praying, were not aligned. Just like there was a time like that I used to study the Bible a lot and there was no revelation. There was nothing wrong with God. There was everything wrong with my heart. So I had to present that heart to God. And when God began to deal with the heart, I saw that revelations began to flow. And when God begins to deal with your own heart, your prayers will become accurate and they will begin to command answers. God, see, in supplication, in prayer, if you are enrolled to be a man of prayer, you have enrolled also to come under the dealings of God. Because if your prayers are going to be more and more effective, you must open yourself up to the dealings of God that will deepen your walk with Him. Now, see, this man has arrived at a place called Shechem. And I went to studies, just simple studies. It's not studies that you cannot do, you can verify it. And the meaning of the word Shechem is shoulder. And if you know, when you want to carry heavy load, sometimes you pick it up and you put it where? Because that's a place of strength. That's a place of power. Hallelujah. Now, there's something that you have not noticed, please. Verse 7. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants will I give this land. And he built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him. I just want you to know that in the land of Canaan, when Abraham arrived the land of Canaan, there were 3 points that he built altars. And the first place he built an altar is in Shechem. And the Bible says that he settled close to a terebinth tree in Moreh. Moreh was in Shechem. Are you with me now? All right. And the Bible says, okay, in my Bible dictionary revealed to me that Shechem means shoulder, the place of power. Okay? And Moreh, which was a place in Shechem that he dwelt, means a teacher. So power and what? Teacher. Power and what? Teacher. In order for you to gain access to the power of Christ and secure accurate knowledge, you need to consecrate yourself. Now, an altar that Abraham raised to God there is symbolic of consecration. That means I submit to your will. Are you with me now? I what? See, if you have not come to that point where it is true that you have actually submitted to the will of God, you know, because several people may be here with mighty ideas. I don't know if you still have your ideas. Those ones you have been moving with. You know, because when my friend showed up, he had 1,001 ideas. You know, he's a scholar. He passed up with 2-1. And so when he showed up, my God, he had chevron, my God, everywhere he wanted. See, as long as your ideas are still alive, God will be weak around you. And Abraham, when he was still himself anyway, he was going to fulfill the will of God, but he had his own agendas and his own plans. Until God appeared to Abraham, and then he now decided to consecrate himself. Now, if we move to the book of Romans chapter 12, the Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to what? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of worship. If it is true. Okay, for instance now, I heard that in Imo State and Anambra State, bride price is the costliest in Nigeria. I've been doing a research. Hallelujah. Imo State. It's true. Okay, somebody's. Are you from? Your money? Okay. Her bride price was costly. The Lord give you understanding. And maybe you stumble into Imo State. And especially when the lady is about from 18 years to 20. With open teeth. You will pay money. And after the elders have eaten all the money, they don't care again. And they warn the lady, see, we are eating on your head. Eh? Don't come back. So the lady goes to that man's house. And the lady is aware of the fact that he is part of his property. Are you with me? I know you want to support. The Lord give you understanding. The truth of the matter is this. The Bible is saying that if you have really acknowledged the price that Jesus paid in procuring your salvation, the only reasonable way to reciprocate his love is that you offer yourself. Any other thing you do is not reasonable. And the Bible reveals that when God appeared to Abraham in Shechem, that he reared up an altar to God. That's an altar of consecration. That's what we call a burnt offering. Your will, your strategy, your wisdom, your plans burn off on that altar. My friend, if you have not yet come to that point where your strategies and your will has burnt off, your prayer doesn't have power. Somebody say, give me a scriptural backing. You must understand that prayer is a kingdom function. And prayer is only prayer and only powerful when it's within the context of the will of God. You are not with me now. Now, several people pray for stuff, but the motivation is wrong because they have an agenda in their heart that has not been yielded to God. They are not praying out of a knowledge of the will of God for their lives, but they are praying because they have a deliberate agenda in place and they are looking for the power of God to establish it. If you pray like that, he will help you waste your time. I've made a covenant to be speaking raw truth. Now I won't be using English to cover it again. Covenant. I just hit it like that. You know, those days I look for words. I find, I try. No more. If you get angry and go, just go. See, the time is short. The world wants to come to an end. So we have devised easier ways of doing the will of God. Now say it like that. That man has not yet come to a point of consecration. He's an unreasonable man, but he wants the power of God to move. And the average Christian is like that. And in fact, mainstream Christianity, mainstream Bible teaching now has been devised in such a way that it comes to compromise with such a carnal believer to give him a sense of hope that God is about to still sovereignly move when that man's life is situated obviously outside of the will of God. He has no intention to submit to God's sovereignty and God's will. But he needs God's power desperately. So he comes for midweek service with his prayer point on the list. That God, you know, I just came out. God. Meanwhile, it's the will of God for that man to go to Zambara State, be a missionary for 2 years first. For 2 years. Just preaching the gospel for 2 years. You see, they are laughing. You see, it's a mentality that you have. When I finished youth service, I went to pray to God and he told me, you go back to Kano, do mission work first. When you are done, I will tell you and I'll give you a job. So I went back with my Bibles and with all of my stuff. And it will surprise you, the disciples that were raised in Kano. I actually loved what I was doing. When I started liking the mission field, you know, I said, time up! Hallelujah. I started liking it. Because God's hand began to sovereignly move. I was not in Kano because it was my strategy. I was not there because it was my idea. I was there because it was the will of God. And I had to put my own will aside for that will to prosper. If I stand in Kano and I pray, because I didn't send myself there, my prayer carried power. Because I was releasing it within the context of what the will of God, every utterance I made was carried power. But a man that is still doing his own agenda has a long list of prayer points. You are here for God to deal with you and kill you. No amen this time, but you heard it. That is it. The old me was a man that I wanted to be a lecturer. I wanted to postulate. I wanted to discover things. So that when I come to class, no notebook. I just release. And they say, that guy's, my God, is. I wanted that kind of. Anytime you say I was an intelligent man, he gave me ventilation in secret places. You know, you don't understand. I loved, my God. It's as if my lifespan is prolonged. I wanted to live in that place where my flesh will receive ventilation. And say, God said, your place is in the north. And I tell you, he will take you far away from that thing that will give you ventilation. Far away. And when you like that place of the will of God, and you start assimilating, you start acclimatizing, you start coming into the mold, and you start liking it. Say, okay, this man has understood my language. You have passed the test. I move you to the next level. But it took me 1 year, 4 months to learn the language, the whispers of eternity, and now to bow down to a sovereign God. Your agendas will die. That is the you. The you in your soul will be put to death, to rest. And the you in your spirit, that is the Christ in you. The real personality that bears the template of your destiny will have to be given ventilation. And that was what Abraham began to experience in Shechem. It was when he had yielded to the sovereign power of Christ that the knowledge of Christ, the what in the New Testament is called epignosis, the knowledge, the revealed knowledge of Christ, that's when he begins to speak to you and give you knowledge that you don't learn. He gives you knowledge that you are not taught. Those are strategic spirit knowledge that navigates you and establishes your feet in the air. But every man wants to have a way. You say, bend the knee. Tell your neighbor, bend the knee, bend the knee. Before I went to Kano, I was already a very slim man. And the thing I hated most was fasting, because it would change my golden frame. I was five. You don't understand. Oh boy. My. Oh, you don't understand it. But when I went the way of fasting, every beauty I had died, diminished. In fact, my face became black under the scorching sun of Kano. Oh my Jesus. And gradually, as I submitted myself to the treatment, I started forgetting about me. It was no longer me that was important, but it was God's will. And I was possessed with a heart that wanted to see the will of God done. With that heart, if you stand and pray, your prayer will be like that of Elijah, that says that as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, he had gained stature in the realm. That's why his voice was like a legal tender. He could buy and sell. Rise up, let's pray together. Let's pray. We need staying power. In the next 5 minutes, God wants to take us to Shechem. That's the place you don't want to be. But the Spirit of God on your inside wants to go to Shechem. The Bible says that Jesus, after his baptismal service, he received a public declaration from God about the fact that this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And when he was given that advertisement, the Bible said the Spirit of God led him to the wilderness to be tempted. There is a place that you don't want to go, but that's where the Holy Ghost wants you to go. That's where your masculinity is going to rise up. Your voice will come out with power. We want to pray tonight and say, God, take me to Shechem. I don't want to do my will. I want to do your will. I'm not strong enough to protect myself. But when I'm standing in your will, I have all the protection I need. When I'm standing in your will, I have all the provision I need. When I'm standing in your will, I have all the power I need. Take me, Holy Ghost, to seek him the place. To seek him the place. To seek him the place. Where we lean on the power of Christ. And by Christ, we receive the knowledge of that which we cannot learn. Of that which cannot be taught. That which is only given by God. Take me, O Holy Ghost, to Shechem the place. Open Selima. Abagoske Brenda Mastalia. Lebreska Baranas Kendo. Labarante Menekeria Mahasale. Take me, O Holy Ghost, to Shechem the place. Maris Gabalande. Magayeta Marakabantelia. Alamatambra Sakabela Koria. Alamarebaban Shekete. Alamarabaskanda Brakatalema. Rabakaske Manzale, Rebedegeskata Blanta Babo, Manda Zagabatamena Skadia, Ebra Manta Baboroko Salata. Take me, O Holy Ghost,
to seek him the place. Maraboske. Malamansande bregadela balakaske manzaye. Ebra malakaske bragadante baruska. Give us staying power to stay in your will, to love your will, to remain where you want us to remain, so that we can have power with you. Mobres calabozamai. Mobres calabozamai. Mobres calabozamai. Rabadakaskata menzo barate. To seek him the place. Bobo Rokoska Askamenda. Labre Sabaranda da Babore. Jabakaska Tomanzale. Jabalanta Branta Babosa Makataya. Ebra Maskato Bregadela Balate. Ebra Mansadaba Salabalatalia. Iga Baskato Brabakada Mansalanta. Ababala Kaskata Bazaba. Ababala Baskata Balata. Ababala Mansekate. Ababala Mansandate. Abete katabala takaba, abete mansaketa, abete manzalabataya, labraskate bavorima, mandazaka bedekese, labroska beranam bantaya. Take me to seek him the blame. Araman sakababa, Raman sakababa lahase. Ebrakos keteba ramaskala babai. Robena kaska, robena kaska. Lande da sobra mansakataya. Labrasketo bazamana tebaskete. Ah. 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 Mole kaska balanzeni. Lala basale boboso boloske. Namba samana da 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 bamanahase. We give you praise, awesome God. You are highly lifted up, awesome God. You are highly lifted up, mighty God. You are highly lifted up, awesome God. You are highly lifted up, awesome God. And awesome God, mighty God, we give you praise. Awesome God, Sabena Hale Baba, we give you praise. We give you praise. You are worthy of I praise. Oh, some good. You are worthy of a praise. Hey, Zubata. Zubalamanta. Ebramakaska patamansala. Libakose bregade. Jamande bregade. Labobolobaskanda bregade. Jabria katabasala babatai. Embra mansala babo. Rabadeges katabranta babalema. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name.
I stumbled upon a mighty discovery. That the devil could did not have the ability to say, I'll kill you by 9 o'clock and have it done. If you are where God wants you to be, it means that you are forsaking your own agenda to be there. Hallelujah. You don't need to pray for protection. No. It is not at your own expense that you will survive there. You survive there at the expense of the one that put you there. It's not giving to the devil to say, I'll kill you by 9. It's not giving. Has he not made many attempts on your life? Did he succeed? No. It's not giving to him. It's not as strong as you think, but the problem of lack of power among the children of God is a problem of rebellion. They are not aligned with God. When you stand in the will of God and you pray, I know most of you have an idea of how your wife should look like, how your husband. He must be 5'8" with a broad chest. Maybe he has lifted weights sometimes, and the biceps are out, the triceps are out. Macho man. That's the portrait of the kind of person the devil used to hinder you. That thing you are seeing is a portrait. But when you go to the place that God wants you to go, don't pray too much. Don't pray too much. If where you are is not where God didn't lead you there, just accept it, admit it. But you say, I shouldn't leave. There'll be grace enough since your heart is sincere. But you are praying a counter prayer. You went into a wrong place and you're asking God, hey, heal the marriage. I will not join you. No. I won't join you. I know what I'm saying is offensive. For the rest of my life, that's how I've decided to be now. Let me be telling you the truth, because me, I don't live a lie, so I shouldn't tell you something else. I didn't lead myself to where I am. You understand? I didn't lead myself. No. God led me there. So when you are selling coffin to take my wife, it's not our plan. We stumbled on the will of God and we accepted it. We had other plans. If you interview my wife very well, there were plans. Hallelujah. And if you interview me too, I will tell you there were plans. If you interview everybody, I don't know. But where we are today is not the flesh that brought us there. So it's not our business. We don't pray for God to help keep us. No. He sent us there. Somehow, anything can happen, but those marriages can break. Anything can happen. Because the integrity of God is at stake. That's how we live by faith. You figure your life within the context of the will of God. You will pray only about what God wants you to do. No problem. Trying to patch this, trying to patch that, because you are out of place. Every time you begin to pray, I want to connect with God, everything around your life that is not the will of God will begin to crack. Have you found out? And let it not be that it will be your marriage that will be cracking, just because you enter the place that God didn't leave you. Most people want to live with their agenda and they want God's help. No! The people God is raising are not people that have created their world. People that have allowed the Holy Spirit to garnish it. Friends, don't be in a hurry. Go where God is leading you. Somebody saying, okay, just think, what if we have already missed it? I will show you the way. Show you the way. But we'll first agree that you have missed it. Huh? Do you want to fulfill the will of God, or you want to stay in error till you die? I want to know how desperate you are to do what God wants first, because you are still holding to your will and you still want God to. Do you understand? Can you be as radical as to say, God, I went into this marriage, it was not you, I went in, and there's a problem. If you want this marriage to go, for me to fulfill your will, I'm ready for it, if that's it. Have you ever prayed like that before? I know you've not prayed like that. Because we have been designed to live outside of God's will and be comfortable. The radar is reading red. Ta, 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 ta. Reading red. And I need to tell us that. You don't live loose like that. Create your, invent your life, and you want God to support it. That's where the average Christian is. And you don't know the risk. You don't know what will happen to you in the next 25 years. You begin to have heart trouble, all kinds of trouble, because you are not where you are supposed to be. Friends, if you are not yet married, settle down. Cool down. Don't be in a hurry. Cool down. Let God speak to you. Your own, let it not be a proverb you will hear and you will marry. Let Baba open your eyes and speak to you. God spoke to us. That's why we are here. And we can't pass anything to you that is different from what we have. Philip told me, say, me in my house, I'm resting. That's the plan of God for any man of his, that we wait to enter into his inheritance. Are you with me? Oh, I know the prayer is dead now. I know before this week runs out, no prayer again. Because as we are going into the lion's den, you will see ugly things. Prayers will finish. Before we enter the contact, I know if I raise prayer now, nobody will answer. But I know God, Jesus. I saw some things while we prayed just now. Some things that the devil is doing. And we want to cause it to fall down. Hallelujah. Let's do that before we leave today. Please go and scrutinize your life. Oh, scrutinize it. When they said riot was in Kano, they want to kill everybody. I checked myself. Am I doing my will? I said, okay, I found out it's not my will. Okay. God said we should go and do crusade when there was riot. I said, God, well, it's your will now. If we die too, and it will help you, let's die. Hallelujah. If our death will serve you, we try to resist the crusade. God said, outdoor, outdoor, outdoor. That was the crusade we did, and Muslims gave their life to Christ. That was the crusade we did, and peace came to that region. That was the crusade we did, and they sent people, heavenly charmed, to come and scatter it when they met power. That went back to the people that sent them. And they carved our place out and left it. That was the crusade we did, and we saw cripples walk. And we were very small people, small boys. Then I found out that God doesn't honor age. He honors obedience. That's what he honors. And you will pay a price to obey God. Are you with me? You will pay a price to obey God. And at first it will look like foolishness. But the time will come where honor will rise. Honor will rise. And God will take you 10 steps ahead of people that went ahead of you. Because he has decided this is what he does to those that are pleasing to him. You'll be a fool at a point, but he will make you a champion later. Can we pray together? Hold somebody's hand. Hold somebody's hand. And begin to pray for that life. That the capacity to tarry, the capacity to pray, staying power, God will release it. 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 Zebola.